Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Actually, we're not on Parshas Pinchas, we're on Parshas Matos, 1102.
Oh, is it a double Parsha this week?
No, it's a trick.
just to confuse
And next week is going to be confusing too, because I think next week is going to be Rosh Chodesh, I think. But basically, we're starting the 3 weeks now, this week. Starting tomorrow, starting tonight, actually, we begin the 3 weeks. In between the Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, which is tonight, and Tisha B'Av are 3 weeks. And this was like the warning period where once the siege started and the armies surrounded us and they cut off this food supply, it was clear that it looked like the calamity was coming upon us. And the Hebrew expression for that is called Bein HaMetzorin, in between the straits, like in the time where the decree seems like it's written that it'll be very bad, and then there's a short amount of time to try to prevent the tragedy. And so for us, this is a time of sadness, beginning with the 3 weeks. It's we try not to buy something that we would make a Shechianu on. Shechianu is a bracha where we're thankful that we live to this time, and we're actually appreciating the time. Like, imagine that. I lived to, you know, I was here when they rededicated the shul. Like, I got to see it. I'm so thankful that I managed, you know, we were waiting so long for them to finish. It really wasn't, you know, it was supposed to be done last year before Rosh Hashanah, you know. So, Shechianu, we're happy to be it. We finally made it. You know, that's a simcha. Like, to be able to attend and to, you know, so you're grateful for being at this time. So, the only thing is, during a tragedy, during the time where it's sad for the Jewish people, we don't like to make the bracha, thank you for bringing us to this time, when it's a time, the time itself is a time that hasn't been good. So we avoid buying brand new clothes that you don't make a Shechianu are no problem. But clothes that you would make that special blessing, or thank you for, or buying something brand new that you only buy once in a while, that you would make a Shechianu, you avoid. There is a way around it, like everything in Jewish law. You can wear it on Shabbos. Some people do that, because on Shabbos, even though it's a sad time, Shabbos is never a sad time. Shabbos is, even a mourner doesn't mourn on Shabbos, like not really. So it's a one thing is we avoid Shechianu. Another thing is we avoid music, and then we avoid having weddings. You know, getting married during these 3 weeks. Those are the things that start with the 3 weeks, starting tomorrow night. One of the interesting things about the 3 weeks are the 3 weeks get us ready for pre-Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. In other words, it's not that there's this sad time, and then there's this teshuva time, and then there's the New Year's time, and then there's the happy time of Sukkah and Simchas Torah. But before we get to the time of year where we can be introspective, we have to realize that there are things that are broken. That's what the 3 weeks are about. There are things that are broken. Everybody knows the number one thing that's broken is that not all Jews get along. That's the most broken thing, that there are families that are... Not everybody gets along with each other. There are people that are distant. And so that's what our number one focus is on during the 3 weeks. So the rabbis instituted that we start these 3 weeks with different haftorahs. And the haftorahs are basically calls to do teshuva. That's but realize that things are broken. This is the first of the haftorah for the 3 weeks. And again, it's an introduction to the sad time. We believe that Hashem always gives us warnings. That's the way Hashem deals with us. In fact, one of the reasons that it was very rare for them ever to have the death penalty in the Torah is that if you give a person a warning and saying, well, if you pull that trigger, we're going to, you know, you could face the death, people aren't going to do it. And that, because in most cases, we wouldn't actually give somebody a death sentence if they had unless they had a warning, and they have to be two witnesses to the warning, and they have to hear the warning. So it actually was very rare. If a person wanted to, they could avoid ever being warned, and they could avoid the death. Now, we could still lock them up in the courts sometimes, needed to do things to save society from people. They talk about that as like what happens if somebody comes out of a cave with a smoking gun and then you find about it. It's circumstantial evidence. They wouldn't give the death sentence for that. Now, they may lock that person up to keep society safe, but there was always an idea of a warning, and we believe that warnings work. We often in Tanakh, when Hashem makes an evil decree, He changes it. And the purpose of the decree is we see what can happen if we don't fix things. In fact, tomorrow is a fast day for those that are able to fast. And one of the reasons of a fast day is like in the Air Force, whenever they have a plane that goes down, they shut down all the airplanes and they put them on hold, because sometimes when there's a plane that goes down, that means there's something wrong in the software or in the mechanics, and they don't want to fly the other planes if they have the same flaw. And so what they do is they do an immediate shutdown, and they review all their procedures to make sure they don't have the same flaw. And so basically business doesn't go on until they get the green light to start again. That's typical. Don't ask me how I know that. I read that's what the Air Force does. Typically, they'll do that. Or they'll do a shutdown. So the truth is, a fast day is like a shutdown. We're not going to. You know, when you eat, you're putting fuel in the tank to keep on going. When you stop eating, you're saying, "Wait a second, we got problems. We got to fix things. We can't just keep on going. There are things that need to be fixed. There are problems that need to be addressed." And this is the time of year where that's the 3 weeks. That's the it's the warning. It's the idea that there are problems that need to be fixed. Sometimes we look at it and we say, well, our sins don't look like their sins. We're not worshiping idols. We're doing other stuff. But often it comes down to the same type of, you know, that sometimes if you look carefully, it's almost eerie how much the same sins are around. Every generation repeats the same. It doesn't have to be that way, but it's somehow you see the same mistakes. Every generation has their golden calf and has their spies and has their. We believe that we try to learn the lessons from these historical things. So let's begin.
What page are we?
1192. Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was the prophet of. They like to call him the prophet of doom and gloom. Yirmiyahu, but actually he's also a prophet of hope. Again, we believe the doom and gloom was a warning to prevent the bad, and we even believe the bad was just in order that we should, if we have to, we get a punishment and we learn from it. We have a tradition that Tisha B'Av eventually will turn into a holiday, and that the Mashiach will come on Tisha B'Av, or that he was born on Tisha B'Av. And that's the idea that when things break down, you fix them, and sometimes they're better than they were before. That's sometimes what you need to do. So let's begin. This is about Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu had a very difficult job. He had to come and tell people the bad news. Worst job in the world, to have to break people the bad news, like to tell them, you know, what the story is, you know, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, we're going to be exiled from our land, this time there won't be a miracle, this time we won't succeed, Hashem is angry with us. That's terrible to have to carry that news to people, and people don't like the messenger. They don't like to hear it. They don't like it when they hear something they don't like. They want to, you know, let's shoot the messenger. You know, and he did. He got it. They threw him into a pit. And they tried to kill him. He really had a hard time, Yirmiyahu. So this is where Hashem initially appoints him to deliver the message. Divrei Yirmiyahu, it tells us the words of Yirmiyahu. Who was Yirmiyahu? Ben Chilchiyahu. He was the son of Chilchiyahu. The Medrash talks about Yirmiyahu, that he was descended from Rachav. And we've talked a little bit about her. She was the immoral lady who ran the inn where the spies hid. And she did teshuva. And there's a deliberate reason why he was the one that would be the messenger for people to change. Because his grandmother was the biggest sign that you could do it. This was a lady that ran a den of prostitution for 40 years. And yet, look what happened. She changed. She became a different person, a holy person, and she saved her family. And she eventually married, according to many, she married Yehoshua. And one of her and here comes her descendant, and people are saying, it's too late for us. Believe it, you can even meet people that say, it's too late for me. It's so not true.
In my age bracket, I hear that.
Do you hear that? Yes. Right, that's right.
Too late already. I've set my ways.
Right, right. That's right. Nobody's worse than Rachav, you know, that she, you know, that's the, and sometimes you hear young people say it and you laugh, you know, like, I am this way, it's too late, you know, I could never change. And, but you hear from all sectors, people tend to want to think that way. So therefore, Yirmiyahu, descended from Rachav, was the one who would be able to deliver the message. He was from the priest, Asher Ba'ansos Beretz Binyamin, the land of Binyamin. Asher Hayu Dvar, The words of Hashem came to him, Bimei Yoshiyahu, in the time that he began. It's important just from the context of when he spoke. The first king that he was the prophet for was Yoshiyahu, was a righteous king. He was a prophet when the leadership was good, and he was a prophet when the leadership was bad. He had both kinds. Sometimes the leadership was on his side, and sometimes they were against him. He was the king prophet during Yoshio ben Amon, Melech Yehuda, Beshlosh Esrei Shana L'Malcha. He was in the 13th year of his reign. That's when he started. Verse 3, it was during the time of Yoyakim ben Yoshio, Melech Yehuda, Ad Tom Ashrei Esrei Shana, until this was very much at the end. Sidkio was the final king, ben Yoshio, Melech Yehuda, Ad Golish Yushalayim, until the exile in the fifth month. That's just the introduction, the time frame. This is the very beginning of the book of Yirmiyahu. So the actual story begins with Pasuk Dalet Vayehi. So we all know from the Megillah, anything that starts with Vayehi means something not good is going on. And the word, and it was, means like it wasn't good. Vayehi, Vayehi bimei Achashverosh, and it was in the days of... Anytime you see that, anywhere in Tanakh, you know that in the background things aren't good. So, and it was. Hashem needed a messenger to deliver the doom and gloom, the warning to the Jewish people. So the word of Hashem came to him. And it's very interesting. Yirmiyahu really would not have wanted this job. Just think, like, who wants the job to be the bearer of bad news? Like, who would want that, you know, to go like to, sometimes they have to tell a family that their son, the soldier, died, you know, in battle. Like, they have to deliver the news. And I've read about those people, you know, like sometimes they have to tell somebody they have a terrible disease. Those are very difficult kinds of jobs. Nobody would want that job. I don't think so, unless a person's, I don't know what kind of person wants that job. So sometimes a person needs to deliver that message. And Yirmiyahu was about to be appointed to do this for many, many years, to tell people that the bad news. So what Hashem is telling him is that don't think you're not suited for this, or it's not appropriate. Hashem said, I created you for this. And he said, Beterem, before I created you, I gave you the ability to do this. Beterem bebetan, even before you were born, I knew you. Beterem teitim irechem, and before you came out into this world, I sanctified you to be Navi Lagoyim Nisa. I sanctified you to be a prophet to the nations. So there's a famous question here. What does it mean, a prophet to the nations? He's a prophet for the Jews. So one view is that the Jews were acting like goyim. They were, and Jews often, they say, well, for a non-Jew, I'd be fine. It's just because a Jew, we expect better, right? What can a person do? He's a Jew. We do expect better, and you can do better. But the Jewish people was acting like all the other nations, and that's not our destiny. That's not who we are. That's not what we're capable of better. So he was appointed to be a prophet to people that were acting like, or the Jews wanted to be like all the other nations. Leave us alone. So he was Navi. Other people say that he actually prophesied to the Gentiles that they would wage war against Yerushalayim and that they would send us into exile. And they heard. In other words, they were told that some of them perceived themselves to be messengers of Hashem. Hashem is angry with the Jewish people and he wants you to attack them. The Gemara mentions that they were superstitious and that the Roman emperor shot an arrow into the wind. And the wind blew it towards the direction of Yerushalayim. And so then he thought, well, maybe the wind is blowing that way. He turned around the other way and he shot an arrow in the other direction, and the arrow landed towards Yerushalayim. And then he turned back and he shot the arrow and it landed. And they were convinced that Hashem wanted them to destroy Yerushalayim, that they'd be successful. And they were correct. So he was actually a prophet for the Gentiles, that it was time for them to punish his children, to come and fight against Klal Yisrael. So that's what it means, Navi Bagoyim. But anyways, he should know that he was prepared for this role. But Yomar, and he said, now the first word is it's the Hebrew on verse 6. The Hebrew reads for aha. The English aha is like the Hebrew aha. It means like aha. It means like whoa. I don't know how he doesn't really translate it.
Alas.
Oh, he says alas.
This
or,
one is aha.
Aha. There are certain words that allow that that the word itself expresses an emotion. Aha. So he says, Hashem gave him this news. Guess what? I prepared you for this job. You're the one. You're ready. And so now this is the famous rule that we have to know is that Jewish leaders, the good Jewish leaders, are in the model of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that means they have modesty. They don't feel they're worthy of the job. That's the hallmark. That makes them worthy is if they don't feel worthy. If they think that they're the best man for the job and they're the greatest, we don't want them. They want to get themselves elected. You know, we want people that feel humbled. And so this is what he's offered the job, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says the following. He says, "Hinei lo yadati daber kinar." I don't know how to speak. You want me to deliver the message? I'm young. Now, nar doesn't always mean young. It could also mean not experienced. I'm like in Yiddish, they used to say you nar up a person means like you make like foolish, like kids. They talk like a nar is like a narishkeit. Remember that word narishkeit?
Yeah.
So it means like young. You know, you're talking like that's an immature way to speak. That's like a young. The word nar is like. So he says, "I'm a nar, Hashem." Like I'm not the one. You know. So Hashem says, "Vayomer Hashem Eli al Tomer." Don't say that, which is also a message. People shouldn't sell themselves short. Don't say that. Ki al kol. Not only that, when you represent Hashem, that's not the time to be modest. And that, by the message, that was the message for Shola Melech, by the way, that the prophet said, "If you're small in your own eyes, but now you're the leader of Israel." Like a person has to know when to use their humility. Like when you're standing up for Hashem, that's not the time to be humble. So don't say you're a child, because I'm sending you. It's not you. It's me. It's not about you. It's about the messenger. You're wherever you will go, wherever I send you, there you'll go, and whatever I command you, that's what you'll say. So no problem. Verse 8, Altir, don't be afraid. Ki itcha ani latzilcha. I'll be with you to save you. Now, by the way, it's not totally reassuring, because what do you need saving for? You're going to go and you're going to be in great danger. In those days, if you told a leader something they didn't want to hear, they would, they didn't take too kindly to people coming and telling them you were in danger. You were, just even think about it today. If you live in Turkey or you live in Venezuela and you want to protest against the leader, forget it. Even in Russia, if it's in certain countries, to some extent, we live in a country where you can criticize our leader. That's incredible. Most countries, you can't do that. And so he says, it's not like you're not going to get in trouble. You're going to be in big trouble, but don't worry, I'll save you.
Leader tweets if he's criticized.
right. But
there are leaders and there are leaders.
Yeah. But I think we have to be thankful, though. Rabbi Feldman talked about yesterday how we're able to have a close off the street and bring a new Torah in and celebrate. And, we're so thankful to live in this country, that. But
originally, they didn't want them to buy this piece of land to build.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's in one of Rabbi Feldman's books.
Uh-huh. They had trouble from the locals. Yeah. Didn't felt they... I see. But Hashem says, don't worry, I'll be there to save you if you get in trouble, Neum Hashem. Okay, verse 9. V'yishlach Hashem es yado. So Hashem did some symbolism over here that he was doing, even though Yirmiyahu was doing the talking, he needed help with his words, but Hashem touched his mouth. And he says here, I'll touch your mouth. V'yomar Hashem Eli hinei nesati. I'll put the words in your mouth. Often that happens with us sometimes, that we speak and we don't know how we got those words. They just seem to come in. It's just interesting how that works. Like the words, sometimes they come, they just, sometimes it works in a bad way too. Sometimes people say things that, but Hashem sometimes gives a person words and tells them what to say, and somehow it comes out right. So this is what Hashem said. Re'eh, if I have appointed you, this is your job, ala goyim, on the nations and on the kingdoms. Now this is what he says, l'netosh. First of all, Yirmiyahu was going to uproot and break down La'avi La'haros. Now then, it sounds really bad, but then it says, livnos unetoya, to build and to plant. So everybody knows before you can remodel, you got to do a lot of demo. In other words, don't think that all this destruction and doom and gloom is bad. This is only, in order to rebuild better and stronger, we need to first knock down the old. The old was getting bad, and it needed to be redone. So sometimes in order to do that, first you have to knock it down and take out the garbage, and then you can plant the new, and the new will grow. And so that's the message to him. And you could see that from the end. All the purpose of any sad thing is in order to rebuild. In order to start again, in order for there to be a newness. Verse 11. So the word of Hashem came to him saying, Ma toro yirma, what do you see? Hashem was going to show him a vision. So this is his one of his first visions. And he says, V'omar machu shokida, he says, I see a stick. Now, a stick, by the way, in those days meant to hit. You know, you hit someone with a stick. You speak softly and carry a big stick, right? He sees a stick. But it's also an almond stick. Now, in Hebrew, the word shokad, that's the word shekadim for almonds, apparently they ripen pretty quickly. In other words, one day you go out, you don't see anything, and the next day they're almost there. So he was shown a stick that was an almond to show that things were going to happen quickly. People knew that eventually the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. The Torah predicts it. The Torah tells us that we're going to be in the land, and we're going to start imitating the Gentiles, and then we'll be destroyed from off the land. And that's mentioned in the Tochacha, in the rebuke. But we always thought it was way in the future. That'll happen sometime, some other time, under some different... So Hashem, the first vision is, stop pushing things off in the future. It's sooner than you think. He's shown shekinim. Hashem said, have a good look. Because now it's time for action. It's no longer can people, oh, we got plenty of time, don't worry about it. No, now's the time. So that's the first vision. The first vision is that these things are going to happen soon. You need to take action. Verse 13. So now we get to the second vision. Vehi dvar Hashem Eli Shenis, the second time. What do you see now? Vayomar sir nefuach ani ra. He says, I see the pot's about to overflow. You ever see a pot that's boiling and... those days it was harder because, you know, today we just lower the gas. But if you have a fire burning and the fuel underneath is about to overflow and you can't get near it. So he says, I see it's about to overflow. Also, again, it's a sense of this harsh, this strong boil. Upanami menevsfona, and it's coming from the north. Which is scary, by the way, because Israel is always threatened from from Lebanon, from the north. That's like that's where Hezbollah is. He said, that's what I see. That's where the enemies come from, the north. Even when they were from Syria, they traveled north because there's a desert in between. And so they usually would attack from the north. They'd come around. And so that was the area where they would come from. So he says, I see like the water is about to boil over, meaning the Gentile neighbors on the north, it's like a boiling pot. What's scary is you always hear that in the news, the situation's about to boil over. You always ever hear that? Like it's just about to, that's this metaphor of the boiling over. V'yomar Hashem Eli 14, Misaf and Tifta Karal Kol Yeshua. From the north, that's where it's all going to start. Now, why would the northern neighbors want to make trouble for us? People have to realize today our biggest threat in Israel is not the Palestinians, not the Lebanese, it's the Iranians. The Iranians were our biggest ally before maybe 20 years back. They're not Arabs. And the Jewish community always had good relations with the Ayatollahs who kind of changed everything. But it's definitely coming from Hashem that they decided they don't border Israel. There's no reason that
they support everyone that borders Israel. They support Hezbollah. They support
Hamas. Yes. But it didn't have to be that way. In other words, they could fade into the background and have nothing to do with Israel, and we would never bother them, right? In other words, it's only because they've decided to take us on. But that's from Hashem. Hashem has made them into a bad neighbor, like a country that doesn't border us and they have no territorial claims on the land of Israel. You know, like Jordan has, you know, we took some of their territory. Egypt, we took some of Syria, we took some. All those three countries, we had nothing to worry about. Who we worried about? Iran, the Persians, they're not even the Arabs that are, you know, 1,000 miles away. They decided that we're an enemy and that they want to make war against us. But that comes from Hashem. Hashem puts it in the mind of these enemies to make war against us. That's what Hashem says over here. All those northern kingdoms, Hezbollah, Iran, all those Arabs up there, whoever's up there, Hashem says, I all of a sudden put in their mind that they're going to attack you. Ubo nasnu ish kista, and they all want Yerushalayim. It's also interesting. They all want Yerushalayim as their capital city. Akol chomaseh saviv, akol or Yehuda, and they're going to come against you. Verse 15. So the reason why Hashem did this is because we were not behaving. So Hashem says, v'dibarti mishpite osam. I want you to talk to the Jewish people, and I want you to read them the Riot Act. I want you to speak to them. And speak when you say to them mishpat, it means they're not doing what they're supposed to. Kol ra'asam asher azvuni, and what they've done, it's very interesting. The first thing they do is they left me. Once you leave Hashem, if a person abandons Hashem, then everything else he left it. But okay, once a person abandons Hashem, then everything else follows. But that's the very first thing. First, you left Hashem. If you keep that connection going with Hashem, sometimes you can make a mistake, but Hashem, you know, he's our God. We're connected to him. But once the person kind of like abandons Hashem, then everything else goes from there. What do they do? They're worshiping strange gods. And they bow down to what they created. And they used to make their own idols. Again, we talked about this. That people make their own religions. They make up their own rules. They bow down to them. Va'ator and you, tazer masnecha. He said, gird yourself. Gird yourself means it's going to be tough. These people aren't going to want to hear it. They're going to give you a hard time, but you gird yourself. Akamta v'dibarta, and go and speak to them. It's not fun. A lot of times you've got to say things people don't want to hear. So, but gird yourself. It's kol asher anochi etzavecha. Whatever I command you, I'll take us. Don't be afraid. Sometimes you think, what could they do to you? But don't be afraid. Panachis ufneim. They might be dismayed. Verse 18. And this is also a concept. When we do what we're supposed to, Hashem gives us the strength to manage. You have to, sometimes like people, people feel they can't cope or they can't, they should turn to Hashem. Hashem created us. He will give us the ability to manage. He'll give us the strength. And that's what he says over here. Listen to this verse 18. Vani hine nistati hayom le'ir mifser. You know what? You are going to be like a fortified city. La'amod barzel, they can throw iron at you. And lachomos nechoshes and kapra al koros, you're going to be so strong that whatever they throw at you, you're not going to be afraid. L'sorel, you could go up against the officers, the kohenah, the priests, la'amoritz. No matter who it is, don't be afraid. And again, it takes a lot of guts. People are scary. They threaten you. They say all kinds of things. And it takes a certain, Hashem is telling him, I'll give you to be thick-skinned. And I'll set you up. You're going to be like iron and like copper, and you're going to go places where, you know, you're afraid somebody's going to stab you in the back or they're going to shoot. Don't worry, I'm going to be with you. Verse 19, but he doesn't say they're not going to try to hurt you. They're going to try to kill you. They're going to wage war against you. They won't be able to. Because I'm with you. Nu Hashem Latzilcha. So that's his introduction to his new job. You know, that's Yirmiyahu is told. But again, it's he's told that Hashem will help him. He's told that Hashem will protect him. He's told that this is what he was created for. And the mission was a good mission, was to try to warn the people, to try to get them to be good. Now, this is the interesting thing, which is the next line that we're going to begin. And this is also so important. People always like to read into the doom and gloom, and they never read into the hope. They never read into the purpose. And if you stop too soon, you know, that's the thing about the fast days or about sad days. That's not, the Jewish people always ends on a high note. There's a purpose to it. Again, sometimes something's broken, you got to fix it. So you turn off the engine and then you fix it, you know. But you got to turn off the engine first before you can fix things. So where with all of this, Hashem is getting our enemies to come attack us and all of this terrible message. So Hashem ends on a high note. He says the following. He, Dvar Hashem Eilayim, the word of Hashem came to me speaking. Holak v'karasi v'aznei Yerushalayim. In addition to the sad messages, I'm going to give you a good message. Go and read this to the ears of the people of Yerushalayim, saying, Ko amar Hashem, this is what Hashem says. And this, Rabbi Feldman also sang this last night. I don't know if you, do you remember when he was singing, Rabbi Emanuel was singing last night, or he was trying to sing? So he quoted this because he felt that when he started being a rabbi, he was very young.
Right.
And he didn't necessarily know, when you're young, you don't know how to do things. And the people followed him, even though he was a young leader. And he said sometimes he had them do stuff that they didn't understand. He felt that they followed him, and he was, which is true. If I understood him correctly, that's who he was paying tribute to, was that the people had the sense that what he represented, they agreed with, even if they themselves weren't personally religious or they supported him, and they knew that was the right way. And so that's this idea. When we left Egypt, Hashem took us through a desert, and leaving a country where you have a water supply and it's a land of plenty and bounty and fruits and vegetables and water and plenty, go into a desert with young children and with a family is a very scary thing. Like, who's going to go? You know, we should have just gone back to Egypt. Like, why would we want to go through a desert? But we were burning with love for Hashem. We received the Torah. We were like a bride. And we would follow Hashem wherever he wanted to take us. If he wants to take us through a desert, we're going to follow him. And that's what happened. And sometimes in relationships you have bad times. And you have to remember the good times. You have to remember that, because sometimes things get cloudy, but you have to remember where they started and what their potential is. And so Hashem says, even though now I'm about to kick you out, and now I realize you're worshiping foreign idols and you've rejected me, I remember the early days, the good days, and I see that potential in you. And whatever I'm doing now, it's out of that love. Zecharti lach, I remember chesed neorayach, the kindness of your youth, avas klulosayach, the love of a bride, the love of young people, lech tech achrei bamidbar, you'd follow me into the desert. And you went to a place no one ever planted there. This was a new experiment. You know, this was, everybody worshipped idols, everybody had a different kind of lifestyle, and there were all these new rules that nobody, I mean, to us, we're already used to them. You know, you don't mix milk and meat, and you slaughter an animal like this, and you don't work on the set. But they were all new rules, and no one ever heard of them. They were all different from life that they had known. And basically, they said, whatever you want, Hashem, we're in. We're going to follow you. So Hashem says, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the love of your youth, the love of Klal Yisrael, the love of that you went after Hashem into a land that wasn't planted. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Don't think that Hashem doesn't like the Jewish people. So we talked about this, that the terrible missionaries will sometimes quote to somebody that's ignorant, they'll quote in one of these verses, the Jewish people is rebellious and they deserve to be punished, you know, but they don't read the whole thing. Hashem says, I love you forever and you're my first and my only, and Hashem will never reject us. There's a concept of punishment and difficulties and tests. There is that concept. But it always, you got to read the whole thing. It comes back to Hashem says the Jewish people, you know what? Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. They are holy to God. There's nobody, you know, you rejected them. You said they deserve punishment. But yeah, he also said that they're holy to Hashem. Resh, they're the first. They're my first love. Nothing like my first love, my first grain. Grain is like the staple. They're what you build the world around, are the grain. That's the Jewish people. Whatever bounty there'll be in the world will be built around the Jewish people. And kol ochlav yashamu. Anybody that messes with my people, guess what? They're gone. They're going to be finished. all those ancient nations that were around. Tavi aleihem nu'am, and this is what Hashem says: don't mess with my people. They're my first love. Hashem sees that potential in us, how we followed Him to the land where there was nothing, and that's how He finishes the message. So it's a good note to finish on, because, like I said, it's no fun to, 3 weeks, bad times, can't make Shechianu or whatever, but we know that it's the message is we have things to fix. Sometimes we've got to turn the engine off, we fix things a little bit, and hopefully we can fix it. We believe we can fix things that way. So if there are issues, of course there's issues, life has issues, but we believe we can make progress on them. And so that's why every year we have this 3 weeks, that hopefully we'll get it right this year and get the engine back up and running. So.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.